now Lori Torgerson. I messed it up already. Torgerson?
Torgerson. You had it right,
I had it right
Tom?
The first time. A Greene County legislator from Windham is here in the WGXC studio to talk about things going on in Greene County. I guess there's a meeting on Wednesday, I just read.
Oh, gosh, I don't know what day is what. Is Wednesday the 20th?
Yes.
Yes, there is a meeting
so
on
it's
Wednesday.
It's coming around again. you guys meet the third Wednesday of the month? Is that?
Oh, okay, so legislative meeting. Yes, there is a legislative meeting. There's also a jail meeting. So.
Oh, whoa, you're talking about the...
we have several committee meetings a month and then one full legislature meeting each month.
And does the jail have its own committee itself, or is it in front of a certain committee?
So the jail has had various iterations of committees. And I, in fact, was the chair of the Alternatives to Incarceration Committee, and we did a study for probably 6 to 9 months looking at, as the title would suggest, alternatives to incarceration, and as part of that, looking at kind of what our options might be in terms of dealing with our jail deficiency. So that was sort of a subcommittee that has wound down at this point, and we made a significant presentation to the full legislature. And coming in large part from that and from other decision-making by the board in general, there is now some work going on, and I think that's part of what we'll be talking about, but in terms of shared services with Columbia County, so there's a subcommittee or workshop working on that very issue right now. But all of this falls under the Public Safety Committee, which is a standing committee of the legislature.
And I guess to back everyone up, I'll give you my sort of understanding of the Greene County jail issue, and then you can correct where I'm wrong, because I'm sure I got some of this wrong. But Greene County has a very, very old jail. It's over 100 years old.
Parts of it are over 100 years old and the oldest or second oldest in the state, yes. And
right there next to the courthouse behind Main Street, across from the library.
Yes.
There. And has the state mandated that some new facility be created or some different facility be created?
So not that a different facility be created, though that is the way this conversation began, but that our deficiencies be dealt with.
So you're under some sort of deadline?
We are not under a deadline. The state, and the state is defined as the Commission of Corrections, is the entity that oversees all corrections in the state, both state corrections and state prisons and our local county jails, which are all county run. They sort of oversee everything having to do with corrections. And while they have not given us a deadline, they want to see progress. We have significant deficiencies in many ways, due in large part to the age of the facility. But they are being fair, in my estimation, and working with us because they do know that to build a new jail, if that were how we address these deficiencies, is an astronomical expense and would be the biggest expense historically this county has ever made in terms of a capital.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get it in perspective. I guess one of the proposals was people said was over $100 million, counting the interest and all. Other ones came in between $40 and $60 million.
So where we're really at there, and there have been various iterations. When I was elected, this discussion has been happening for quite some time in sort of fits and starts over a number of years. And when I was elected, there was a lot of work already done in the development of a proposed new facility, and it was significantly larger at the time. We have been able to downsize the proposal for a new jail, if that's the route we go. Right now we're looking at a facility that would be 98 beds. It's a $44 million capital cost with interest beyond that. Don't quote me on this. It puts us somewhere at about $60 million when all is said and done, if we go the route of construction.
And to put that in perspective, does the Greene County legislature regularly vote on $60 million or $100 million projects?
Regularly would be first time ever in history.
So this is historically large. So that seemed like it would trickle down, so to speak, to our tax bills.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Which is, one of the reasons that the primary reason that I've been so sort of active in really trying to look at what are the best alternatives here in terms of keeping the public safe, keeping the staff and the inmates of the facility safe, and ensuring that we don't spend tax dollars unnecessarily on something that's, you know, a necessity, absolutely, but isn't arguably sort of a revenue generator in any sort of fashion, or a tourism generator, or an economy generator for the county.
And there are three general proposals on the table, one moving the facility to next to the Coxsackie prison, one redoing the Catskill facility, and then the third is the sharing a facility in Columbia County with Columbia County. Is that correct?
Yep, that basically covers things. The rehabbing the facility in Catskill is something that my predecessors, the prior board, looked at, and it did not appear as that was going to be something viable in terms of what the state was going to authorize. The reason it's something that's potentially still considerable, or considerable if that's a word again in this context, is because we have been able to reduce the size of the facility. So, but the truth is, really, I think the focus right now of the board are either the construction of a new facility in Coxsackie or the shared services with Columbia County. I think those are the two that have risen to the top at this point in terms of viability.
And then you've got, I guess, all kinds of different interests going on. I guess Catskill wants to keep it there for their own interest. Is there also a possibility of selling off? I mean, that's prime real estate in Catskill, but it's next to the courthouse, so it is also perfect for a jail because of its proximity to the courthouse, I guess. But is there, can it, that property be sold off for real estate?
You know, I don't know that we have a concrete, perfect idea for what would happen with that structure because, again, of some of the major facility challenges. I'm not an infrastructure expert. But
seems like the building needs to be torn down,
well,
probably.
There's that's certainly a piece of the conversation. But, you know, in terms of, and I don't know whether you know or your listeners know, part of the reason I've been so active in this discussion, I have a doctorate in criminal justice and worked for 20 years in our state corrections, parole, and ultimately was the director of reentry for the state, so oversaw everything having to do with people leaving prison and returning to the community. So this is kind of, you know, a little bit of my world. And one of the things that is important, honestly, in looking at sort of successful reentry and reduction of recidivism, which is good for everybody, right? We don't want crime to continue. There is merit to the jail being located sort of in the heart, if you will, of the county where there are services sort of close and connections to family. So that's an important piece as well in considering the Catskill option. The challenge on the other side is viability. It just may not really be possible given the constraints that we have by the state and other things. So,
and you've been on that alternatives to incarceration committee, and so the idea there is if because some of the plans have floated a lot of beds for this facility, and you're trying to find alternative ways so that you don't need as many beds and don't need to build as large of a facility. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So one piece is what can we do to ensure public safety, but give folks sort of alternatives in terms of incarceration, you know, to keep sort of our bed count down. How can we do that safely? And there's all kinds of tools that are sort of proven. There's solid research around risk and how can we determine who's a risky person and needs to sort of be incarcerated versus not, and how can we make better connections to services in the community so folks whose crimes might be driven by substance abuse can be connected to help. So there's a lot of different alternatives to incarceration that ultimately have been successful all over the country in sort of reducing the population. On top of that, though, importantly, is the fact that what that committee also did was really take a good hard look at our trend data to be able to do some population projection and say, what do we think, independent of doing any ATI or alternative to incarceration work, what do we think our trend lines look like here in terms of what we think the population is going to be? And we really, you know, everything that would predict the number of people that are going to be in our local jail is either flat or declining. So our population, our at-risk population, our reported crimes, our arrest rates, all of these things are declining, and they're declining.
And that's all good news.
This is great news. This is great news in terms of public safety. And it's also a real good reason to be looking at a reduced size facility or, you know, in the possibility of working with Columbia County, since we're talking about a pretty low population.
And I have to say, you're listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM. What was I going to ask about? I guess I've been surprised, at least reading the accounts of this process, that there's been acceptance of these kind of ideas of alternatives to incarceration, that some of the more conservative members of the legislature are seem to be on board. I guess maybe is it part of the giant cost of this facility that everyone, either on the right or left, want to bring that cost down?
Absolutely. It's funny. I've spent a career in criminal justice, and I find that it is a subject where if people are educated and understand the issues, they really come to the same decision. And they come to the same decision because, you know, the research is really clear that from a fiscal standpoint and from an outcome standpoint, the choices that we should be making are the same thing. So yes, that's the long-winded answer to your question. Yes, this can make a significant financial difference in terms of downsizing a facility or being able to work with Columbia County. If we, you know, do some real work, you know, at a cost of pennies on the dollar to provide alternatives which are safe. We're not talking about putting the public at risk in any fashion, but don't cost as much as it costs to incarcerate a person every day.
And then I guess at the same time, you've got anytime there's a change in anything government, there's winners and losers. And for instance, if the facility moves to Columbia County, I guess the Greene County Sheriff will have less sort of power in terms of hiring and staff and all kind and budget and things like that. So you've got pushback from all different sides. Catskill wants to keep it. Coxsackie wants to win it. Nobody wants to pay more taxes. So I guess do you hear a lot from constituents about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you said, all of those things are issues, right? People, you know, need to sort of come at this from wherever they are in their jobs and in their lives. I hear a lot from constituents on the mountaintop, and I actually represent Windham, Ashland, Jewett, and Prattsville. I've been really trying to be active. I've had community forums and really trying to be public about this because, to our earlier point, this will be, if we build a jail, the single biggest capital expense in the history of the county by almost two times.
What is it? The office building is probably the closest?
The courthouse rehab. So this will be almost double that at the end of the day with interest. So, you know, this is a big deal. And this is also about public safety. And this is about lives, right? So I've been trying to be really public. I hear a lot from constituents. And mostly when we're able to talk and they understand all sides of the issue, folks say, you know what, we don't want to spend our tax dollars here. How can we do this? How can we, you know, any of the challenges of working with Columbia County, we would try really hard to mitigate any downsides in terms of, you know, the impact on staff and those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, this is a long-term, you know, investment, either in a major capital expense with an ongoing significant corrections budget for many, 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 for in perpetuity, right? Or it's looking at something that could really, you know, in my estimation, benefit the taxpayers of two sister counties forever.
Does Greene County have a good working relationship with, I guess, Columbia County in general? But who are you talking to Columbia County with about this particular issue?
Right. So it's the Columbia County Jail, and part of the reason this all, you know, is on the table is because we have boarded out. That's the technical term. We've sent some of our inmates to Columbia County for quite some time now because of the facility limitations. The state has, you know, sort of, they will only allow us to utilize so many beds. We're operating under variances, that sort of thing. So some of our inmates are boarded out to Columbia County anyway. This has been happening for quite a long time. So we have a working relationship on this very issue. In fact, approximately half of our inmates are in Columbia County on every given day, on any given day at this point. So yeah, we have a working relationship, and there's been a work group of, three legislators, including myself, regularly attending along with our county administrator and county attorney, a working group with the Columbia County Board of Supervisors. So they're sort of analogous board to really look at this issue. Recently, you probably have heard and your listeners have heard the bond vote to authorize the funding for the construction of the jail was defeated. Since that time, I think we've had a real increase in the attention to this Columbia County option and the shared service option. So we've been working really hard to figure out the details instead of just this concept of shared services, but what will this look like? What will this look like operationally? What will this look like financially? And one thing that is very encouraging to me is I was contacted by someone in the governor's office about this to say, we are willing and able to support you. Our governor is very hot on shared services, as you may know. So
we had that mandate earlier this year where you guys were forced to at least look at certain things to share with other towns and villages, I guess?
Exactly. That was within the county. This obviously would be, you know, with another county, but exactly. This is something that we're mandated to be doing, at least kind of in the county. And the governor is very supportive of shared services. And we have the support of the state to help us figure out. There are obstacles.
Is there a state law or something about the counties must have their own jails?
Maintain their own jail. But we now, you know, are in real close conversation with the state on this as well. And they have assured us that they will do everything that they can to support this, assuming the two counties come to an agreement that this is something we want to do.
Do they have to pass a new law, or is it some sort of executive action?
They'll have to pass a new law, but the expectation is that it can be modified to be very specific to our Green and Columbia scenario and therefore won't affect the rest of the state. So should be something that can fairly easily be done.
That kind of typically happens throughout the state for different reasons. They pass a very small law about Washington and county doing some particular exact thing.
Exactly.
And then I guess, some of the transportation issues, I guess, are already being dealt with since you're already moving prisoners from Catskill to, where's the Columbia County?
It's in Hudson.
In Hudson.
Yep. So that's happening. That is a concern of some of our board members, and I think something that we really need to sort out in our kind of real nuts and bolts conversations that we're having right now. Having said that, if we were to build a new facility in Coxsackie, Catskill is basically equidistant between Coxsackie and Hudson. And for instance, my constituency, my jurisdiction, again, it'd be actually closer to get to Hudson for some folks than Coxsackie. So transportation is going to be something we have to look at regardless. What the exact impact is, I certainly don't know, but this is something that's, you know, of concern to folks, and we really need to work out the details.
And I guess there's issues about getting access to lawyers and getting the bail, or what is it, the initial
arraignment,
yeah.
And so all of those things. So there's a lot happening kind of in the state around those issues independent of this jail, and that whole picture of arraignment and public defense and those kinds of things are actually changing as we speak. So what kind of impact that all has will be kind of to be determined. But again, not being a facility, not being in Catskill next to our county courthouse, whether it's in Coxsackie or Hudson, a lot of these issues are going to be the same kinds of conversations and something we have to sort out.
And if you do go the Hudson route, the Columbia County Shared route, there's still building to be done because their facility is not large enough currently.
So this is, you know, something that we're working out right now as well. Now that we're, I think, really getting in the weeds a little bit more instead of conceptual. And it certainly looks like if we were to move our entire population to Columbia County, that they would be close to their capacity. Now, defining capacity kind of loosely, because there are rules that the state sets in terms of leaving a certain number of beds available for in the event of needing to separate inmates and classification issues and those kinds of things. So, you know, at least for the time being, my belief, and this is, you know, we don't know this for sure yet, but that the state will support kind of working with us around some of those rules a little bit while we sort out kind of the next steps. But all that to say, yes, we're talking about potentially building at Columbia County as well. And what that would look like, you know, again, remains to be seen, but it would be, you know, significantly smaller than what we're talking about, an entire facility in Greene County, potentially something to be shared by taxpayers across both counties. And, you know, Columbia County has revenue generation from our inmates going to their county. And if we did something like this, it'd be a shared kind of services, shared cost. So presumably there'd be a fairly quick return on their investment. And for our taxpayers, it would be, you know, a mere percentage of what we'd be talking about in terms of a large facility. And I think the, you know, the long-term savings for both counties is the fact that, well, for Greene County, you know, we'd be radically reducing our corrections budget. And for Columbia County, their costs would be offset by our sharing some of their costs. So, you know, but the details and the math, it certainly works out at first blush, but we're really kind of getting into the weeds on that right now. And what is this really going to look like if we can make this happen?
And what is the opposition saying against the idea of moving to Columbia County?
Well, I think some of the things you said before, this concern about transportation, though I think we really, you know, I think still that's at the level of abstract, and we need to sort of see what is the transportation issue, and is it any different than it would be if we were in Coxsackie? So that's
or
one thing.
Currently, have you had any problems currently with transportation?
No, I've not heard any at all. So a second thing would certainly be staff and what would happen with our correction staff. And I think that is, you know, of paramount concern to the board, and we will, you know, we have not gotten into sort of the details on that, but the, you know, sort of higher level, not in the weeds conversations we've had, it's certainly about, well, how can we, you know, can we get folks from Greene County to be absorbed by Columbia County? What can we do in terms of severance and those kinds of things? So we will do whatever we can to minimize the impact on our current staff. That's another issue.
How many people work there now?
That's terrible. And I don't know the number off the top of my head. I know, and this is actually interestingly been one of the conversations, and I know, you know, resonates for some of the other board members. We have had a struggle recruiting. In fact, we are down, the last I knew, it was somewhere around 7 full-time, you know, corrections officer staff. So, and this has been a problem on an ongoing basis. So,
and across industries in Greene County at the moment, right?
Well,
the restaurant
yes.
industry will tell you that no one can find anybody to work in restaurants here, or
absolutely.
Enough people.
And I think there's some challenges because where we're located, you know, folks could be attracted to work for the state, drive to Albany, you know, and with more significant salaries and maybe benefit packages, those kinds of things. You know, at least that's what we're hearing sort of in terms of, you know, theoretically. But so that's a challenge. But nonetheless, we do have staff now, and, you know, maybe that's probably the most significant concern about what we'll do to minimize impact. But the nature of, you know, sharing services and combining services over time is talking about, reducing the size of government. And that's what kind of shared services is all about. So, and that's where cost savings to the taxpayer, frankly, comes from, reducing the size of government, right? So
So where are we in the whole process? The bond was voted down, was it in October?
What month are we in? This is December. It was November.
It was November, so just last month. And then, so does that put it back, the whole thing back to committee or...
So, yeah, well, there were some discussions during that, the final vote, and it really looked at one of the big concerns that some of our legislators had was whether or not to move the sheriff's administrative or civil, and how that's defined, I think, differs across people's minds, but offices to Coxsackie if we were going to do this construction.
They're in the same building now?
Correct, right. So some of our legislators would like to see those services maintained in Catskill, and not only maintained in Catskill, but for there to be an analogous reduction in the size and cost of what would be a proposed constructed facility in Coxsackie. So that was a big discussion in order for the, you know, to look at what that, you know, what those costs would be and what the impact and cost savings would be if we could do something like that. That's going to take a little bit of time. So there really hasn't been much more discussion. In fact, there hasn't been any more discussion about that. So I'm not sure what's happening behind the scenes for our administrators moving forward, looking at some of that stuff. But in the interim, there's been a real push to look at Columbia County and the shared services option in a real way, define what the components of this plan would be, what the implications would be, what the costs would be, and then for that to be presented in a real material and not abstract, I'm not sure I like the feeling of this idea kind of way, to our legislature.
You're getting the details about how it would go. And is it possible, to go back to the office question, is it possible to move the sheriff's offices into the Greene County office building?
I don't believe that's an option from a space standpoint. There really, from what I understand, there's not a natural and easy solution to that as it currently stands. So
you need to come up with some answer of where they're going to move to, and people are talking about Coxsackie for, and
so with the original proposal, the $44 million, and then the iterations prior to that. Had both the jail facility and the sheriff's administration and civil stuff all in one campus in Coxsackie. So this discussion was about how do we keep a piece of that in Catskill, maybe where it currently is, or not, but to be determined, but then therefore also reduce the size of what we'd be constructing in Coxsackie, and presumably the cost by a fairly significant amount. So that's the, you know, to be determined piece of this, while concurrently we're really actively looking at the Columbia County thing.
And do you have any idea on the timeline of this? How long is it going to take to research the all the details about moving to Columbia County, to and then that would be presented to the board for a vote, I guess?
You know, our goal is to do that fairly quickly. I mean, this doesn't necessarily have to be rocket science. There's some basic, but, you know, the more you get in the weeds, the more kind of questions there are. So, you know, we're, I think, taking it a week at a time. We had a meeting earlier this month. We have another meeting December 20th. With the holidays, that may back things up a little bit, but I would hope within the first month or so of the new year that we could have something real to present to the legislature, and then see where we're at on the, you know, what to do with the sheriff's administration side of a construction plan at the same time, and kind of revisit this as a whole board.
So there's a meeting this Wednesday, December 20th,
yep,
of the entire legislature or the...
So both. So we happen to have our full legislature meeting Wednesday night. In the morning, this group of Columbia County folks and Greene County folks, work group looking at the shared services, are also meeting.
And can the public attend that meeting?
It has not been. No, that's not a public. That's not a public meeting. The legislature meeting
at 6:30 p.m.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, what can the if someone has an opinion one way or the other about this, what should they do?
Will definitely speak to their legislator, or certainly speak to me, and I can, you know, deliver a message as well. I've been really active in this. I mean, this is a big deal. It's a big deal in terms of cost. It's a big deal in terms of public safety. It's a big deal in terms of the lives of the staff and the inmates and the people impacted by people who live in a jail. And I hope and encourage the public to be engaged. This is going to, one way or the other, affect their taxes for sure, and fundamentally and in perpetuity, and against, you know, other things that we might be doing in this county as well. So it's important. Talk to your legislator. Get, you know, make your viewpoints known.
So it's probable that our taxes will either go up or go down, depending on how this goes. They probably won't stay the same, right?
Well, I would say that. I think, yeah.
So it's definitely everyone should have an opinion, I guess, about this one way or the other. And then recently there was something about a new bail program that was, I guess it's just an idea that's being floated at this point.
Yep, exactly. Very preliminary. So there's been a lot of, there was some conversation in the ATI group about bail reform, and this is a big deal nationally. And if anybody does a Google search, you will quickly find out that there's a lot of work around bail reform nationally. And the idea really is that a couple of sort of pieces of this. One is that there are people incarcerated pre-trial, held on bail, who are not a risk to public safety, but whom, you know, just because they don't have the means to meet their bail, they're kept incarcerated. And so really poverty is the thing that's driving whether someone is released pretrial or not. So these ideas around this specific bail fund, and there are some around the country. In fact, there's one in Brooklyn, and I think that was the origin of some of the folks that had this idea, have a connection in Brooklyn.
And there's a new one in Columbia County.
There's
too,
a new one in Columbia County, exactly. This is not a publicly funded thing. This is not funded by the county. This is what would happen is a not-for-profit group would either be established, or an existing one would sort of manage a fund for private donations, and those funds would help to provide bail for folks that otherwise can't afford it, and who are not a public safety risk to be released pretrial. And remember, if I could just say, when you're pre-trial, you have not been found guilty of anything. And that's just really important for the public to kind of remember. Safety is still a paramount issue, but there are also tools to ensure who are more risky. And really what we look at and what bail is designed to do to begin with is to reduce flight. It's to make sure somebody comes back for their criminal justice processing. That's really the intent of bail to begin with. So
it's not as much a safety issue
as a
justice issue.
Though it is a piece, and it is something that we absolutely can look at. So, but this is very preliminary stages. But the other side of this is that, you know, Greene County, we looked at this, the ATI committee, Greene County incarcerates people who are not able to meet their bail pretrial at a significant cost, you know, for incarceration per day. And so at some point, the bail versus the cost that to incarcerate that person works out costing the taxpayer a significant amount of money. When if that person had means to meet their bail, they'd be out in the community anyway, and we wouldn't be paying the cost for them to be incarcerated each day, which fluctuates somewhere around $240 a day or more.
So I guess there's a people come into this with a certain opinion, and then they don't. And when they see more different sides of it, I guess.
Yeah. There are many sides. There really are many sides. But I think importantly, this would be a private, not-for-profit entity. This isn't a publicly supported thing, and there is a lot of support nationwide around these kinds of efforts, and a model in our neighboring county. So I'm hopeful that this goes somewhere. There have been a couple of early conversations and meetings, but this is kind of just being developed as we speak.
All right. So we're talking to Greene County Legislator Lori Torgerson. Let's leave Catskill and Coxsackie and Hudson and head up to your environs on the mountain. And I guess people have been seeing these anti-DEP signs for I don't know, years or months or...
So a couple of months. I hate to characterize it as anti-DEP. DEP is extremely important to our mountaintop community. It's more about a specific challenge that a not-for-profit organization, the Windham Area Recreation Foundation, has had in trying to develop an extension of the Windham Path on DEP property.
And the DEP is the Department of Environmental Protection, and their New York City organization that is protecting the watershed, because New York City water goes comes from up here.
Exactly, precisely. So, and the I don't know if you're familiar, Tom, with, but certainly I hope many of the listeners are, with the Windham Path, which is a multi-use recreational path that was conceptualized, funded, constructed by the Windham Area Recreation Foundation, which is a not-for-profit. And in full disclosure, I'm a member of the board of Windham Area Recreation Foundation, so I can be speaking with that hat on or as a legislator. But and the organization has really looked to the mission of WWARF is about trail-based tourism, which is a really important piece of our economy on the mountaintop.
Yeah, what is Windham? Is it year-round tourism now, or is it just winter? Or
well, funny. I mean, historically, Windham had was a summertime community way back, and then sort of shifting to being thought of as a wintertime community. And the goal, I think, of many on the mountaintop over the past, you know, whatever, maybe five plus, maybe more than that years, has been, you know, a four season recreation destination.
I guess the leaves bring people here in the fall.
Absolutely.
And so this recreation, when did the trail go in?
So the first phase of the Windham Path, and it's a multi-phase project, bear with me here, 2013 was the first phase. The second phase opened in 2015. The idea of the path is, again, multi-use, non-motorized vehicles. It's to connect the residential, the business, and the activity centers around Windham so that people can run, they can walk, they can cross-country ski, they can snowshoe, they can ride their bicycles to get from point A to point B without having to have their car. They can enjoy the outside. It's a wellness idea. And this whole idea of trails and trail-based tourism, you know, it's happening in the West Coast for sure, in towns like Stowe and other places. And so Windham, you know, has the beauty, it has the natural infrastructure, and WWARF has been working really hard to sort of develop this idea. And the Windham Path, again, is a multi-phase project to connect all of those activity, business, and residential centers around town so that people can move about without their vehicles.
And is this on state parkland, or is there eminent domain issues here?
So to date, the property that's been utilized has been the town of Windham. And I have to stress as well, the town of Windham has been a key partner in this, in that they ultimately hold the easements. Once WWARF conceptualized, funded, and built the path, the town holds the easements for those paths, and so therefore the liability and insurance, and is responsible for some of the maintenance of the path going forward. So thus far, the phases are on Town of Windham property and private landowners' property. The proposed next phases, and hence some of the challenges we've been having in sort of working out the glitches with the DEP recently, have been that the next several phases are to be on DEP property. And there have been, you know, arguably 5 years or more of discussion with the DEP planning in real detail what those paths and corridors could look like. And in what WWARF perceives as this sort of 11th hour, when we thought we were having a meeting about construction of the path, the DEP said, you can't build that kind of surface on our land, and we don't want bikes on our land. And those were things that had been talked about and sort of written about in correspondence, you know, in all of the 5 years of planning. So the signs are all down, and they've been down for quite a while. And you know, WWARF had a good faith effort. The idea was about educating the public and letting folks know kind of what's happening. The Windham Path is a, I think, beloved asset to our community. And I define that broadly. I mean, people come from all over to use the Windham Path. So we wanted to let folks know that this was happening. We are still working on sort of getting back with the DEP. There have been some kind of meetings and some discussions, and our expectation is that we'll meet again And I really hope and think get back to a place of, you know, the planned expansion going forward. This is, you know, me sort of speaking a little bit out of turn. The DEP isn't here with me to concur, but that is my hope. And there have been some, you know, hints to suggest that maybe we can get back to the table on this.
So. And so what is the issue that they're worried that people riding bikes in Windham are going to dirty the drinking water in New York City? Is that, I mean,
that's honestly part of the challenge is we don't really know what the issue is. We surmise based on some of the, you know, what we've read in the paper that the DEP has said that there's a concern about bikes in particular creating runoff and turbidity in their water. But we certainly don't know that from being told. And there's tons of scientific research. I'm not a hard scientist. I know the public safety, criminal justice, liberal arts kind of research. I don't know the hard science stuff. But there's a ton of research that talks about construction of paths and trails is critical in terms of these kinds of issues and runoff and erosion. And there's a ton of science that says actually that foot traffic can create more erosion than bicycles. And it has to do, I think, with the distribution of weight across, you know, across a land area. But so if that were their concern, it certainly does not line up with what the research says. So we're really not clear what the concern is.
And do they have concerns beyond bicycles?
The other concern, again, and we don't know why, is that the surface of the path as it's currently constructed, and for those of you who don't know, it's not an impervious surface. It's hard-packed dirt and gravel, so water can sort of seep through. It's not impermeable. They have a concern about that surface, but we're not sure why, because that is the surface they walked with us numerous times on the existing Windham path. And in fact, we do have written authorization from them to expand that path on a portion of their property previously. So I'm not sure, we're not sure exactly what changed. So.
It seems like to me that there's got to be similar paths somewhere in the watershed, New York City's watershed elsewhere, because it's a big giant massive land, right?
Yeah, well, I think is the answer. They have done, you know, there are what they call hiking only paths on some of their land. I'm not sure that there's any kind of improvement of the surface. I don't know for sure the answer to that question. I actually don't believe that there are. I know, though, that there are many concurrent requests for these kinds of things, and that may be challenging from a management standpoint for them. However, the reason they have these requests is because, you know, the DEP has purchased and continues to purchase. They have a very aggressive land acquisition program, and as they continue to purchase land, these kinds of benign but tourism-generating, economy-supporting, wellness-supporting uses are really going to be important things for them to have to look at.
So they may be worried about setting a precedent.
Maybe. I'm theorizing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know this firsthand. We really haven't gotten a why. And, you know, I hope that we don't even have to get to a why and we can get to a how can we make this work? And I think there's a kind of group working on getting to that point.
And are they purchasing more land out in Windham and Prattsville and Jewett?
The whole watershed. And you can see this on their website. They have a pretty aggressive land acquisition goals and programs. So, which, you know, again, there are good programs through the DEP that have supported things on the mountaintop and in the watershed. But there is also a competing concern about the impact of land acquisition by the DEP and what that means to potential future growth and potential future economic sustainability.
And I thought that the water ran the other way. How does this work, not towards New York City, but towards Prattsville and the Schoharie?
Oh, God, you're going to trip me up here. Here's where my expertise wanes significantly.
Yeah, I'm not a scientist either,
I'm not sure exactly how it all works.
but this land here has something to do with the more Ulster County land that we think of as their watershed.
Well, so there's the west of Hudson and east of Hudson watersheds, and you know, so there are multiple watersheds. I'm honestly not sure what water goes where, but absolutely, you know, my neck of the woods is in the New York City watershed, and so subject to, you know, the regulations of the DEP.
And I'm guessing it's one of the largest watersheds in the country, probably, and most politically powerful.
I would assume so. I honestly don't know, though. I really don't.
At least there's 8 or 10 million people drinking.
Well,
from it,
so absolutely. That's a lot of people. And fundamentally and foremost, obviously, everyone is concerned about water quality. And I think the idea with the Wyndham Path and other sort of, you know, currently proposed and future yet to be proposed paths of this sort, the idea is, you know, ensuring that these things won't impact water quality. And our strong belief, kind of supported by some of the hard sciences, is that they won't. This is not about not being concerned about New York City water quality. Obviously, that's paramount.
So where is this process all now?
It's a variety of organizations that are working together on this. Greene County Soil and Water, WWARF, the Coalition of Watershed Towns, a variety of folks who have, you know, interest and expertise in these issues are working together to try to come back with a plan, to sit down with the DEP and say, here's what we'd like to do. Maybe, again, some of the details weren't as clear as they could be for the purposes of the city, and let's see if we can work through this. So timing-wise, sooner than later, we'd hoped to have a meeting in December. I think with the holidays, that's not working out. But again, early in the year, for sure, to see if we can move this forward. The challenge is that because the DEP owns so much water, particularly in Wyndham, where this Wyndham Path is the specific issue, you know, we're really going to be hamstrung, the WWARF is, in order to expand the path without utilization of their property. So this is a real issue for the vision of trail-based tourism.
Is there a missing chunk of the path?
There are major missing chunks.
So
major missing chunks that would connect the hamlets of Hensonville and Maple Crest, which are, you know, two of our three residential areas, right? And again,
lots of restaurants there too.
Absolutely. And again, this was not sort of sprung on the DEP out of nowhere. This was 5 years of very detailed conversations with specific planning, you know, efforts being undertaken. So we hope we can get back to where we were moving forward. What the change was, we don't know, but that may or may not matter if we can hopefully get things to move forward, and we're hopeful we can.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in today. Is there anything else you want to tell listeners about what's going on in Wyndham?
Oh my gosh, there's so much going on. You know what? The mountain's open and the snow is flying. It's busy, but it could be busier. We want to get people out shopping and eating and staying in the hotels and skiing like crazy. And we're super hopeful. The long range forecast is good. And we hope to have a great ski season followed by a wonderful spring and summer season in Wyndham.
Yeah, is there fireworks New Year's Eve?
I believe there are, and I should know the details about this. Yeah, I think there are.
I'm sure it's on the Wyndham Mountain.
Absolutely. Yeah. They have a lot going on at Wyndham Mountain. There's live music, and there's all kinds of things going on. We have some new businesses in town. There's a lot happening, and we're looking forward to a great season.
All right. Well, thank you, Laurie Turgotson, again from the Greene County Legislature from Wyndham. And there is that legislature meeting this Wednesday, December 20th at 6:30. Is that right?
At 6:30, yes. Yeah,
at the Greene County Office Building in Catskill.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Tom.